David, I love that candle you're burning. You seem to always have a great candle burn.
I am very aware of how a room smells. When you've spent over a decade with a 75-pound Labrador Retriever and two teenage boys, you start to worry that your house smells like the inside of a gym bag.
I would imagine so.
You know what I wish we'd had for the last decade?
What?
That Puro Air purifier we now own and use all the time.
I love my Puro Air too. Did you know that indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air?
Yes, I lived with two teenage boys. I can 100% testify to that.
In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room.
Gases from a preteen boy?
I'm dreading when my nephews start making those gases.
Just you wait. Thankfully, Puro Air uses a stronger type of filter called HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT.
You wouldn't drink unfiltered tap water, so why would you breathe unfiltered air?
Thanks to my Puro Air purifier, I feel like I can breathe again.
Check it out at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com.
One more time, getpuroair.com. Check it out now.
Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in.
You all, we are thrilled to introduce you to two amazing women who have certainly meant so much to my family in the last few years. Zee Pendleton is the director of St. George's Kindergarten, and Angela Rice is the assistant director. And these ladies have impacted thousands of kids over generations and have impacted my heart through Henry and Witt. And we are so grateful to introduce you to their wisdom and to their warmth and how much fun they're bringing into the lives of so many kids and families. So when we first started talking about doing the ages and stages and talked about stage one kids, I mean, immediately your two names were like top of our list. We have got to get Zee and Angela in here. It'd be so fun to get to sit down with the two of you. And that might have even been, that was a couple of years ago at least, that we talked about having y'all here. And obviously, I every year just grow more endeared to the two of you and the care that you have taken of my favorite little guys on the planet. And yeah, just,
well, we hope we live up to your expectations.
Oh, y'all.
And the feeling's mutual. Yeah. I mean, like, we just love your whole family. I mean, you know that every time you're there.
And we love y'all's ministry. I mean, you know, I'm just after last March, everything y'all did, it's amazing. And just so blessed to have y'all in Nashville.
Right back at you.
Yes.
We feel exactly the same way. Yes. And yes, knew y'all would have so much wisdom and be hilarious at the same time. No pressure. But
we'll see.
Just from my time with the two of you.
Well, and again, hopefully we meet your expectations.
Yes. Well, I'm just so grateful for the place and the atmosphere that y'all have created.
Thank
and the
you.
Kindness and warmth and sweetness of all the
That's
things
what it's
that are
all about.
St. George's. I know.
It's,
I know.
It's a magical place. I mean,
it is.
It's the Disney World, you know,
it
of
is.
Preschools.
Yes. Yeah. I have never talked to as many people about any school who say, we're just so sad we have to leave. We're so sad we have to leave when their kids graduate.
I hear that all the time.
Yes.
Well, it is a sweet, it's a dying breed, the traditional preschool.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully St. George's will we're
continue
gonna
for
be
years.
75 years in 2025. So we're gonna have a big celebration.
That's so
I know.
Fun.
So but yeah, I mean, and it just, you know, we just hopefully have created a legacy that will the fun. I mean,
oh,
you know,
are you kidding?
We had big steps to
football,
I mean big shoes
fun
to
day,
and
the
I mean that's
Christmas
what it's
that's
about.
What makes us so happy. Oh. Like we love it as much as the children
yeah.
do.
I mean, we'll dress up for any occasion. I mean,
we have tutus in every color. And we're wearing them.
I've seen quite a few
any
of them,
occasion.
Yes.
I mean, we love to dress up and have fun.
And that's what
and
it's about.
That's,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're both so gifted at what you do.
Yes, you are.
Yes. Okay. So speaking of all those years, I just found out this morning before even getting to see y'all how long you've been friends. So before we even start okay. with your story as teachers, I want to hear your story as friends.
Well, we started in first grade.
No.
Yes.
Where were you?
We were at St. Henry's. And seventh grade, Z left, went to Overbrook for seventh and eighth grade. And then we met back up at St. Cecilia and did a year of college together.
No, you too. Yeah.
And then just we were each other's maid of honors. And
were you really?
Godmothers to the children.
And so I started working at St. George's when my oldest, who's 32, was in the threes. You know, and I have my early, elementary education, but I was like, I did my student teaching and thought, no way am I going to do that. I love the littles. And so I worked there, you know, as a teacher. For a while. And then I probably 2002 took over. That's when Mother's Day Out had a separate person. And so I was over Mother's Day Out until 2007 when I became the director. And I never wanted to be the director. My husband and Carol Moss at the time was our office manager. And they just pushed me and pushed me. I'm like, okay, I mean, whatever. I had no idea. I mean, I remember my first day, I sat behind the desk. I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? And then Angela, when did you come to work there?
Was it Claire was three. Mm-hmm. So 1999.
Wow.
I was a medical assistant at St. Thomas and my dad got sick. And they gave him about 6 months to live. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. You know, I've got to focus on my dad. Mm. So I took time off from that. And he was like, you know, you really need to come here. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know, okay, it gives me something to do. So I started out in Mother's Day Out, moved up, taught in the threes, taught the fours. And then the director position came open. And then that opened up. When she got that position, it opened up the Mother's Day Out director. And there again, I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to apply for that job. And she was like, no, I really think you should. And I'm like, no, I don't. And then we were friends. So that made it kind of awkward. Yeah. You know, I don't want to get the job just because she's my best friend.
Right. Sure.
Or whatever. So
there was lots of talk.
There was lots of talk.
And I did truly give it over to the board. I said,
yes, the board had total
several people applying. And I said, honestly, and you know, back then, I don't think a lot of people knew that we were,
our
you
know, history.
We kind of just kept it under the radar. Now everybody knows, but we kind of tried not to, but some people knew. So there was a little talk and,
But God knew what he was doing. You know, for some reason, he urged me on to apply, and I did. And here we are.
The rest is history.
The rest.
So we're still together from first grade
that
on.
Is so cool, y'all.
Yes.
And we, I mean, fight like cats and dogs, sisters. I mean,
we'll be in the office bickering and all that. They're like, ooh, they're really getting into it. And we're like, no, we're okay. You know, like, this is what we do. You know, we're fine.
But we take it out, you know, instead of just venting, I tend to either take it home to my husband or take it out on Angela the same way. So sometimes it's, we need to talk.
Yeah, which, sure. Yes. But on the way over here, we were telling the story about when we were little, like we would spend, you know, have sleepovers, and Z had this dollhouse in her backyard, and I loved the dollhouse. And every time I was over there, you know, I'd be like, oh, let's play in the dollhouse. And she'd go, no, I don't want to play in the dollhouse. And so then we had a fold-out sleeper couch. And so she would come to my house and she'd be like, oh, let's sleep on that. And I'd be like, no.
I just thought it was the coolest thing.
I don't want to do that.
So she said she had a parent meeting yesterday and she said, you know, there was a couple of children that, you know, were best friends and kind of quarreling, I guess. And she goes, yeah, I just told him how you acted. And I said, you did not. She goes, no, I'm just kidding.
So, I'm not going to tell anybody how we work.
That's good. Us. That's yeah. us.
So we go way back.
So sweet. Yeah. I read once that the amount of people who stay best friends from seventh grade through senior year is 1%.
Wow.
Well, so the fact that y'all have stayed best friends this many years
and we haven't killed each other.
Yeah.
We're still alive to be here.
Yeah. That's no, so it's special. Cool. And I mean, we've been through a lot together. I mean, deaths of parents and, you know, just
our children, raising our children together. Yeah. We both have all girls. You know, we're girl moms. Together,
yes.
You know, and it's therapy. It's free therapy because, you know, we can just go in the office, shut the door and vent and cry and have a breakdown and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know? Which happens often.
Yes.
Well, in sharing that great story, you mentioned your kids and we wanted to have you also just tell us a little bit about your families.
Okay. So my husband's name is Brad and we've been married 33 years. And I have three girls, 32, 30, and 25. My oldest two live in Knoxville, and I have a grandson, two granddaughters, and a bonus granddaughter who's about to turn 10. And I think the biggest disappointment of my life is going to be that they're not at St. George's. Not to put my pressure on any girls. I know they're going to listen. and then my baby lives in Denver. And it's just... I mean, there's just nothing like it. We're very, you know, my husband and I were yin and yang. I mean, he was the disciplinarian and I was the organizer. And my girls, I feel like, have turned out awesome. But I mean, you look back and think, oh my goodness, how did we even do this? You know, because it is, it's hard, but it was a very different time too. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But my girls and grandchildren are just my life.
So my husband and I have been married 29 years, but we were high school sweethearts.
Wow.
We started dating when we were 14 in high school.
Did you approve in high school, Z?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah. I did. He's an awesome guy. Okay. I mean, he's really? Just so awesome. And then went to college and we kind of split up and I married someone else.
Really?
A couple of years later, and then that did not work out, but I got a beautiful daughter out of that. And I called him one night and I'm like, hey, do you want to meet up? And so that was it. We've been married 29 years. And so Britton is from my first husband and she is 33, has our granddaughter, Evie, who's 2. And then my other daughter is Claire, who's 27, who teaches at St. George's.
Who was Henry's teacher last year. I know.
Yes.
She was wonderful.
She adores him.
Wow.
There again, you know, we adore your family. All of us do. So
I live vicariously through her granddaughter, yes. Evie, calls me Yaya, which is my grandmother name. So
sweet.
I do have a grandchild there.
Yes. So how many years each have y'all been doing this work?
So I have been doing it, I'm 29 years.
29 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm 25.
Wow. So in all that time, how would you say you feel like kids have changed?
There's more going on with children now. I think there's more stress and anxiety. I do feel like there's more issues with children. We say it almost every day, what is going on? I mean, why are these children so stressed and anxiety ridden? And you can see it. And I don't, you know, I would love to know. I mean, to be able to fix it, but it every year increases. And I feel sometimes there's parenting that is, it's just different. It's a different world than when we raised our children. What would you say?
I mean, I feel like technology has changed our children. These babies, you know, they pull up, they're in front of a screen being dropped off from school.
In the hookup line.
It's screen time a lot for them. And I feel like that plays a big role, not quality family time. It's more, let's give them a screen and instead of putting, you know, putting a puzzle together. or, you know,
singing songs.
Right.
You know, talking in the car.
Because that's such an important time in the car.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you can, you talk, you listen, you know, you point things out. And I feel like that doesn't happen anymore. And that was always my favorite time with my girls was taking them to school and, you know, picking them up. That's when we talked.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's less of that.
And, you know, funny story, when my middle daughter, Margaret Ann, she's, I mean, she was an anxiety-ridden child. Sorry, Margaret Ann. but I was trying to teach her our phone number. And so I would sing it, you know, 615-298-1963. And she would get weird, no, and she'd put her hands over her ears and no, no. But she knew it. But I said, until you start singing it with me, I'm not going to start. I mean, I'm not going to stop. So it's just funny. I mean, that was a very special time, but also a time of just, let's look around, find an S. Where do you see an S?
Learning.
And of course, there wasn't the, you know, the built-in TVs in the cars then.
Right.
There
weren't
the iPads or the cell phones here. And I mean, look, I've seen my daughter do it, and I'm just as guilty with him.
Oh, I've done it too.
My grandson, you know, out at a restaurant and giving them as a pacifier. And as much as I say, don't do that, I'm just as guilty. So I'm not calling out parents doing it, because, again, I've done it with our, you know. But I think that is going to a restaurant, and at a very young age, my husband would say, look the waiter in the eye and order what you want. I mean, even when they were three, and we were all together last Saturday, and he did it to my grandson. Tell the waiter what you want for dinner. And he's three. So I think a lot of that is just getting lost, because there's just so much else going on.
Right.
There's so much. Technology is a double-edged sword.
Yes. Okay, I have to make an announcement for any non-Nashvillians listening. You said a word that I thought was so strange when I moved here. Hookup line.
The hookup line. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like something inappropriate's going on.
Yeah.
You know me?
Yeah.
And we've heard it. We don't think twice.
I know. And that's the carpool line in Nashville for whatever reason.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so our fours and fives, too, we have a lot. We are the largest Episcopal preschool in the nation.
Wow, I did not know that.
Wow. We have 340 children enrolled. That's include the ones and twos that come one or two days. And but our fours and fives can be dropped off and picked up in the hookup line. And so
it's not for parents to hook up.
Yeah. They were doing a auction item for Dragon Bash a few years ago. And it used to be when the children would stay in their rooms, and it was an intercom. And so I'd call their names, and they just loved it. They would play Miss Z calling names. I mean, if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. They will mimic you. They'll be in the bathtub and calling names. and we don't do that anymore.
Because we doing text Phoebe Foley. Yeah. Phoebe Foley. Yeah. Sorry, I'm calling them out on that. But I mean, that's
but they
so would, cute.
What, you know, so the auction item was calling hookup with Miss C.
Oh.
But when they went to announce it, it was a live auction item. They said, all right, now we're going to do hooking up with Miss C. I'm like, okay, well, not hooking up with Miss C. So, it's funny,
that's
but
so
now
good.
We're doing it a totally different way. So it's different. But
yes,
it's, you know, yeah, that we get a lot of that. What's the hookup line? Because we have so many new families that have moved in. And so we do explain that in the parent meeting.
I was very confused by that one.
Good disclaimer. Okay, you all talk some about how kids have changed. How do you believe parents have changed?
I mean, I think there's more stress on parents. I think, again, the social media. I mean, I know how I, you know, feel sometimes when I look, you know, and see these families. Oh, these grandparents are taking their, you know, whole family here and there. So I think there is, it's a competition. And all I know, my children know, that's not real life. They're using filters. They're using, you know, and so I think it's hard for parents to separate that. I mean, it's not a competition. And don't compare your family to another. I think they feel the need to overschedule. So if let's do tennis, let's do ballet. So there's something every afternoon instead of just one activity. Let's just do one activity and then we're going to go home and play. And you know, so, I mean, but there again, the world's changed. So they're validating that by, oh, but I want them to be well-rounded. And so they, you know, need to be involved in all this. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I do feel like there's less time for children to be children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, same thing, technology. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a glimpse. And these parents are trying to live up to these expectations that this is what families look, you know, should be. Look at what we're doing. Look at what, how great we are. And that's not real. You know, it's just a picture. But that picture causes a lot of stress.
And anxiety.
And anxiety.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I think does trickle down mm-hmm. to the children.
Yes.
And then these parents, they're getting younger and we're getting older.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a bigger difference yeah. mm-hmm. now. Yeah. The older we get, the younger they get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We sure see that here too.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sissy, I don't mean to brag, but I got to tell you, I feel like I'm avoiding sickness left and right. It seems like everyone is coming down with something, but I'm feeling really good.
I'm so glad, David. It must be the Beekeeper's Natural Propolis Throat Spray. It's taking your immune system to the next level.
I am so thankful for that. I love that it proactively supports the immune system to help you stay ahead of the game.
Beekeeper's Naturals Propolis Throat Spray is available in adult and kids versions. It provides daily proactive immune support that tastes good and soothes your throat.
They also have throat soothing lollipops for kids and sometimes adults in their 50s that are the most delicious dose of defense providing propolis, vitamin D, zinc, and wildflower honey to soothe kiddos' throats and support their immune systems.
It can definitely be a battle getting kids to take medicine, but kids love the taste of Beekeeper's Naturals products.
Pack a bottle of throat spray or a few lollipops in your kids' backpacks, your work bag, or your purse so you always have it on hand.
Today, Beekeeper's Naturals is offering you an exclusive offer. Go to beekeepersnaturals.com/RBG or enter code RBG to get 20% off your order.
That's BEEKEEPERSNATURALS.com/RBG or enter code RBG.
Beekeeper's Naturals products are also available at Target, Whole Foods, Amazon, CVS, and Walgreens.
Sissy, I am always on the lookout for ways to improve my health, and at my age, definitely my metabolism.
No kidding. We are at that stage in life where we have to find every way we can to optimize our health.
But really, you're never too young to start thinking about it. And I've found an incredible new product to help, Armra Colostrum.
Armra Colostrum harnesses over 400 living, bioactive nutrients that rebuild the barriers of your body and fuel cellular health to strengthen immunity, ignite metabolism,
fight inflammation, fortify gut health, activate hair growth and skin radiance, power fitness performance and recovery, and offer powerful anti-aging benefits.
That is amazing. Armra is wholly natural, sustainable, and was developed with the highest integrity from start to finish.
Armra uses sustainably sourced colostrum from grass-fed cows. This new superfood seems almost too good to be true, but it's not. I can attest to it. Plus the other thousands upon thousands of five-star reviews and life-changing testimonials from users.
We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com, RBG, or enter RBG to get 15% off your first order.
That's tryarmra.com/RBG.
So, okay, thinking about the ages and stages, and y'all mm-hmm. are in such a sweet, wild age for so many of them. What would y'all say is the best part of this stage in a child's life and the hardest part?
I mean, I just think the innocence of a child mm-hmm. is they are sponges. They absorb everything, and they're just joyful. And again, that's what we want to make their preschool experience be about, you know? Mm-hmm. it just needs to be fun. They need to love learning. So I love the joy of a child. I love when they come up and give us a hug. Missy, they call us Missy or Miss Angel. They confuse
us. And sometimes I'm Missy and she's Miss Angel. Yes, and,
I bet.
Yes. You know, their imaginations. Like, I love watching my grandson play and, you know, pretend and retell a story or, you know, talk about a friendship. I mean, it is just amazing to watch. And it just, I mean, it just makes your heart warm. And that's why we do it.
For the love.
All the craziness.
Like, I will see those babies come in. They start out, you know, they're a year old. And then next thing you know, 5 years have gone by and they're big boys and girls at that point. And we've just watched their personalities develop and just them become little people. And it's just amazing to watch their growth over the years with us.
And then to see them, and they're about to graduate high school. And in our minds, they stay four or five. You see them. And, you know, I mean, obviously, we can't remember every single parent or every single child. And, but they will usually introduce themselves, Missy. This is, you know, so and so. And I mean, I love it. I mean, it just makes me tingle inside because, I mean, they started with us, you know, and we still have parents say
it was the best experience,
you know.
And we were in San Antonio for a conference one time in the airport. Thinking, oh, we're not going to know anyone. Miss Z, Miss Angela. And we're like, okay, everywhere we go,
someone knows us.
It does. I mean, Brad and I were in Italy last spring break, and we were touring the Vatican, and all of a sudden I hear Miss Z.
And I mean,
it was the key. And Brad goes, Miss Z moment.
We don't go anywhere
if there's not a Miss Z moment, Miss Angela moment. So,
of course,
you know. It's our claim to fame.
Yeah.
That'd be a big claim to fame.
That's a great claim to fame. Yeah. It's a great claim to fame. Well, do y'all have a hardest? What you would say is hardest?
I mean, jokingly, I would say for me, potty training and teaching a child to drive is the hardest. But seriously, I just think the hardest is a child being compared. You know, the developmental milestones are huge.
Yes.
And the gap, and they don't all meet them at one time. A three-year-old, you know, we'll see the youngest in the class be able to do more. And this time is not about academics. You know, it is about social emotional. Those children need to be nurtured and loved. Just, you know, and that's what I try to tell parents. Yeah, it's okay if they need a little speech or OT. It's fine. But they don't have to be exactly where their friend is. And that's exactly why we do our fours and fives, where there's a 12-month gap. And, you know, I have pushback from parents all the time. Well, he's the youngest in the class. Well, he's maybe, you know, when he goes to kindergarten, when you send him on, whatever, I mean, there's usually a 15-month gap in those kindergarten ages. So I feel like, you know, that is hard for parents to understand that, you know, we're not drilling children at St. George's. We're not teaching them to read. Reading is readiness. And we are working on their social independence.
And I think the parents put pressure, you know, like they need to be academically at this point. And it will come. Like Z said, it will come over time. Just don't pressure your children. Let them be young. They're only small for such a short amount of time.
It's so good, y'all.
It is. So needed. Okay, along those lines, would love to ask the two of you, just what do you want parents to know as their kids are entering preschool?
Well, I mean, you know, it's such a pivotal time in their life. I mean, their brain is growing so fast. Their body is growing so fast. And again, just let them be children.
Play.
Let them play. Let them, don't make them feel
grow
like.
Grow up before they need
there
to.
There you go. That's what I'm like.
You know, they are going to grow up fast enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, enjoy this precious time because it's so fleeting and it's such an important part time in their life.
Let them walk in and, you know, carry their bag themselves. I mean, I know it's easier and faster to carry your 3-year-old and hang up his bag, but that's not allowing them to feel independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the biggest things. I mean, for preschool. I mean, again, I hate to, you know, harp on the social emotional, but I do want parents to hear that.
A big
component. That is the biggest thing. I mean, you know, separating from your parents and again, going to the potty on your own. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that is what preschool is about. Those are the, what we're teaching them, the self-care and the academics will come later. And by the second grade, you know, everybody's on, you know, you're going to be where you're going to be. You're going to have your higher achieving. You're going to have your lower achieving. It's not a race, you know. Just let them be children.
And I tell parents, you know, when they're first starting out, like this is their first experience somewhere. Let them, our job is to make them feel safe and secure and want to be there and how to separate from their parents. Mm-hmm. You know, how, you know, it's okay for mom to leave. She will be back.
Yeah.
Mm. And it just, you know, that's our job. It's just to make them feel safe and secure.
What about, so parents who are thinking about preschool soon, what would you all recommend parents look for in a preschool?
I mean, play-based curriculum. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And now, I mean, there are all these pre-Ks that are, you know, now the entry point in a lot of these schools. And, you know, now also kindergarten, because of all these pre-Ks, there's not enough spots. So parents are afraid and they're scared not to go. And I would say that it's a different, you know, it's not apples to apples. I mean, we are a traditional preschool. We are licensed differently. And we're under DHS. And then I'm pretty sure that most of the preschool is attached to a school. And I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but most of them are under the Department of Education. So they're not looking as much as the developmental milestones. And I think it might be a little more strenuous and more pencil paper than what we do. I mean, they're definitely not doing a fun day once a month and having
they're not dressing up in tutus.
And that's not, I mean, I want to
there,
say.
There are no tutus. You know,
and that is not to bash these other pre-Ks in any way. But I'm just seeing in Nashville this weirdness going on, and it is affecting parents. And sadly, you know, with there not being as many kindergarten spots, they're missing out on some great families. So, I mean, and our numbers are fine. It's not, you know, like I'm saying that because, but I do feel like, again, there's not as many traditional preschools. You know, I can count them on one hand right now. And I just think it's so important to, you know, especially for a family that's been there and, you know, wants to go to the fives because their other children did, or so they can be the top of the, you
they
know,
want to be
I mean,
in Peter
wait.
Pan.
Yeah.
They want, and, they want the Peter
yeah,
Pan
they
play.
Want Peter Pan. But there's so many other things too, just, but I know what's happening in the fifth and sixth grades too. So, I mean, I understand what's going on. I'm sad for families feeling that pressure for kindergarten because it's like I tell everybody, your child's going to go to kindergarten 100%. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have to take the ACT. He, you know, recognizing, you know, letters in your name, count to 10, or, you know, do a little one-to-one correspondence, some patterning. Your child's going to be fine. This is not, you know, they don't have to read. They don't, I mean, just let them be children. So,
yes.
That's what, you know, and if they're, I mean, I just feel like they need to be loved and nurtured and feel the joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they need to look at when they go to these schools. Mm. Are they getting that? Do they see that?
Mm-hmm.
Do they get that feeling? And what is their gut feeling? You know, when you walk into a place right off the bat, if it's good or bad, or, you know, you feel at home or not, just like walking in here today, you know, I felt right at home and I want to stay.
Well, and I think there's a difference when you're looking for a pre-K versus kindergarten. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have kindergarten. Our fives are probably a kindergarten, honestly, shorter hours. But I think it's a very different, what you're looking for in a four-year-old program mm-hmm. is going to be different than what you're looking for in a kindergarten program. Mm-hmm. That's just my take. Again, I am not bashing any of the schools.
Sure.
Please don't come at me, heads.
No, but we would say, I mean, the push for academics and the intensity is impacting mm-hmm. kids significantly.
Yeah.
From like, really
I can't
early
imagine
ages.
The pressure. I mean, yeah. there's so much pressure. And then you have that on top mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, exactly. I even feel it like with my grandson. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's lefty. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, showing him the right pencil grip. I'm like, oh, come on. I mean, you know, he's three.
He'll get it.
But I mean, you're just, we become so trained in this that, you know, it's easy to fall in to that. And mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have a canned curriculum. We don't have, you know, our teachers, you know, all plan together. And, you know, I think it's wonderful. I mean, and they love it. And they get into the private schools. There's just not
enough,
you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you mentioned kindergarten, both of you, in different moments. And I would love if you'd be open to it, if we could camp out for a quick minute and what I think can be a hot button topic mm-hmm. sometimes. And that being, I do a lot of consultations with parents about boys and kindergarten yeah. readiness and when to start. And I just would love to hear the two of you share some observations there with all the wisdom and experience you've had.
I mean, I'm going to say make them older, girl or boy, but especially a boy. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if they're the first child or the third child. I mean, and yes, they may look and be ready to go, but you need to think about the middle school years and the high school years. I firmly believe that you're setting them up to be successful rather than they're going to be the leaders, not the followers. And so I think giving them that extra year, and it even trickles down to college. I mean, you're going to college. I was an October birthday and I was four. When I went to kindergarten, I was 17 when I went to college.
Wow.
I can tell you, it was
it was not good.
So I always say, yeah. you know, just think about that. Go through the process if you feel the need and, you know, ask what the ages are going to be in the class. Mm-hmm. I have never, not one time in 17 years since I've been the director, had somebody come back and say, I cannot believe you told me to make my child older.
Really?
I have had people come back and say, wow, I wish that I had not sent them on. Mm. And a lot of times I'll tell them, you know, it's a flip of a coin.
Right.
It doesn't, but
another year is not
it's
going
a gift. It's a gift.
To change their life. I mean, yeah. you know, it's only going to be for the better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think parents yeah. realize that.
Yeah.
You know that, okay, you're not looking at just right now. You need to look at, like Z said, the middle school, the high school, the college.
Mm-hmm.
No, you want them to be the oldest and not the youngest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even in my family, so my middle daughter is a kindergarten teacher and my son-in-law is a principal. And
oh, wow.
So they have a May birthday, a little girl that was just born this past May. And then my grandson was a May birthday. And so I've already said, yeah, you need to make him older. And I never use the word hold back because it's preschool. You're not holding them back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're giving them the gift of the year.
Yeah.
And so we keep talking about Celia and Penny being in the same class. Well, so Chess, I'm sorry, you know, I love you. We've had this discussion, but about giving them that year. And she's a girl, but I mean, still June to me. I had a June birthday. My third daughter is June, and we made her older. And I think the end game is that extra year across the board in mm-hmm. every season of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it mm-hmm. just gives them so many confidence, self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones driving.
Mm-hmm. More maturity yeah. when they're being exposed
right.
to more
exactly.
than ever before.
And boys yeah. are so much more socially immature than
yes.
the girls.
Right.
You know,
yes.
that's a big factor.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You all know we love Hiya Health around here, and we're hoping that you've already found your way to trying it.
Sissy, if they won't take your word for it, maybe they'll take it from Henry.
Oh, we all know Henry loves his Hiya vitamins, and his mom loves that Hiya is the pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin.
Formulated with the help of nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more.
Hiya is designed for kids of all ages and sent straight to your door so you have one less thing to worry about.
Most children's vitamins are filled with 5 grams of sugar and can contribute to a variety of health issues. But Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk, but it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters.
Hiya fills the most common gap in kids' diets to provide the full body nourishment they need with a yummy taste they love.
We've still got this special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/RBG.
This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/RBG and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed.
I love that language. I encourage parents in the same way of, rather than saying holding back, what if we said more fully prepared? Like that's a whole different way to think about it.
Right.
And that it is so much about playing the long game that, you know, I've said that exact thing to parents too. If what you don't want to be doing is sending an emotionally underdeveloped 17-year-old boy away to college, especially in this day and age. So if we, when in doubt, wait, it's kind of my rule of thumb, and give him a little more time to grow and develop because same here. I mean, in 25 years, I've not had one parent ever say, I regretted I regretted waiting, but I've had a lot say I regretted not waiting.
Right.
And sometimes we don't see that till a little later down the road with middle school and high school. So grateful you all would talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, and it's nothing I haven't shared with parents. And you don't have to listen to me. This is my advice, my opinion. And I mean, you know, I have many a educator that will not see that, but I feel like, you know, and it does make it tricky for these Nashville classes. They they have a 15-month gap. You know,
thinking about preschool specifically, what can parents do to set their kids up to succeed and to have the best experience?
Communicate. I think it's communicate, be a partner with the teachers, be a team. You know, don't just rely solely on the teachers, you know, work together to try to make their child's school year successful. And, you know, now you see parents that they don't want to take the time to partner up and they just want someone else to do it. And no, they need to be involved. communicate, you know, share in the special times, and show up, be present.
You know, if there is something going on with your child, let us know.
So good.
If you've had an evaluation, share that so we know, because it doesn't go on your permanent record if you have OT or speech or even a full psych eval. It is something that only helps us. It's early intervention. And
right.
That's
the sooner, the better.
We want.
The better.
And set boundaries and limits for your child. I mean, they crave boundaries. They want them and they need them.
Yes.
And, you know, just let them, again, be children. Yeah, I also think that, you know, they still need to play outside, eat dinner together, you know, again, talk in the car, be a family. I feel like everybody's so rushed now. And I get it. When you've got these middle schoolers, and then my youngest was 5 and 7 years gap. And so we were constantly, you know, going to events and she was tagging along. But we always still tried to have dinner together and, you know, we always played some kind of game, you know, your highs or lows or some animal game I'm thinking of. I mean, just to be together. And I mean,
it's family time, quality time.
Yeah.
That people just don't have the time anymore. They don't want to make the time. And time is
fleeting.
Precious. Yes.
It goes by way too fast.
Have y'all seen that? I'm sure you have. That I feel like we might have even put it up when we've spoken over at St. George's. But the meme that is half of the screen says back then, and the parents are looking at the child saying, explain these grades to us. And then the other side is now, and they're looking at the teacher saying, explain these grades to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we see that every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Us too. I mean, we hear those conversations. And I think, you know, on the flip side of that, you have done such a beautiful job. David's wife teaches, I don't know if y'all knew that. She's
an
elementary school teacher.
She's
a CPA.
Well,
and
hats off.
I know. And since the pandemic, I feel like we've talked a lot about parents supporting teachers. I mean, even in first appointments that I do, assessments, that's always one of my first questions to parents. Tell me what your teachers are saying. What are your kids' teachers saying? Because y'all see so much. And I think even going back to Henry, you know, you all made some recommendations that at the beginning, of course, I'm like, what?
What?
But
what are they saying?
But I trust you so much. And you were 100% right. And so...
And look at him.
I know. He's thriving.
Look at him.
He's
amazing.
Thriving. Yes. But I think that feels like such an important thing to say, that teachers, your kids' teachers have eyes on your kids when you don't. And so you want to trust the teachers. You want to trust the faculty that they know kids act different in front of us as their families.
Yeah.
And so y'all see how they interact socially.
Right.
You see things that come up that we just don't see sometimes. And I think that feels like something that has been lost, is that degree of trust in the educators that are in your child's life. And it's just, I cannot say enough
how
important it is.
And it's hard to hear difficult things about your child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I certainly have. You know, my youngest, and I mean, she ADHD. And, you know, I should have seen that from the get-go. I didn't. She wasn't diagnosed till the 5th grade. And it's just... things are being diagnosed earlier and earlier. There's things that teachers see, and it's hard as a parent to hear sometimes, you know, and I get it. And we always say they have to hear it 3 times before something happens. So we try to always give positives, but there's sometimes difficult conversations have to happen.
Right.
Okay. Forced you to talk around some harder topics and some heavier things. I want to throw you a curveball and ask if you all have a favorite story of something that a preschooler has said or done, because it's just one of my favorite things about this age, that we never know what's going to come out of their mouths or what they're going to do. Do you have any favorites from all the years?
I was in the 2-year-old class as a teacher, and the little girl came up to me and she was like, "Yeah, my daddy had to get my mom up the stairs last night because she had too much adult juice." And I'm like, if that mom only knew what yes. her child just yes. told me.
That's yeah. so funny.
You know, that was years ago, 22 years ago, mm-hmm. and I still remember that story.
I mean, it's probably been 6 or 8 years, and it was a new child in the threes, and their lovey was their mom's thong.
No.
And so the teacher said, no. I think your underwear got, you know, we put it back in the bag. And she said, oh, no, that's his lovey. So I was like, okay, well, there you go. I mean, so, you know, and wow. we see lots of different lovies.
I mean, they will tell us anything. I hear it all.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Grocery week one day in the class, and my little boy,
grocery week,
set the room up yes. as a grocery store. Uh-huh. And I was actually talking to his mom the other day, and she'll never forget the story either. And so he walks in, and they were bringing, you know, stuff from home, like grocery items. And he brought in a Bud Light beer bottle. Yeah. And, you know, the mom said, oh, well, we should have known then. Because now I think he's like 22 years old. But it's little things like that.
We've had so many things. Yes. I mean, you know, a parent that was always late and never could find her car keys, Ubered one day to drop her child off in the hookup line. And I mean, it's every day
there's something new.
Yeah. An adventure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we love it. That's what gets us through, honestly, is the children. Yes. And we are blessed. I mean, with an amazing teaching staff. They just do such an amazing job, and, you know, I'm thankful for them. So I have to give them a shout out.
I mean, and our they hold our values.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they know what the school is all about and mm-hmm. the expectations, mm-hmm. and they want to play and have fun too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, at first, when we started throwing those fun days in,
they were ready to kill us if we
threw
in. And
I think they still sometimes are like, y'all have got way too much going on.
But then we threw in another fun day. I think, is it Country Western?
Country Music Day.
Country Music Day that we're going to do this year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
So, you know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's nothing like it. And mm-hmm. I mean, and for the most part, we are 100% get up, love to come. But there are days.
There are like days that are hard days.
Sure. But
I think working together helps mm-hmm. us get through those mm-hmm. hard days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we laugh a lot. We cry a lot.
Well, yeah.
But
all the emotions.
We have mm-hmm. great support.
But and we're blessed.
Our parents, you know, we love you parents. We're not ditzing on you.
They're amazing parents.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're very supportive. And, you know, it's just a different season in life. And mm-hmm. that happens.
But what a gift to these families you all can see kids and over all these years and give perspective.
We are so blessed. You know, to be surrounded by such an amazing community. Yeah. You know, every day those parents walk in, like your family. I mean, when I see y'all walk in, it's like, oh, you know, y'all become our families.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, our friends. Yeah. And that makes it very special.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure y'all have the same feelings here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not all that different.
So if y'all could boil your messages that you could say, if you could say anything to parents, 3 statements that you feel like parents today need to hear. And it wouldn't hurt anyone's feelings because it's not pointed at anyone. This is just in general.
Yeah.
What would you all say?
I go back again, enjoy every minute with your child.
Mm-hmm.
Time is so fleeting.
Mm.
And this, you know, these younger years are so important, such important times in their lives. Be present. Be there
and live in the present.
Don't live in the
look
present
towards, oh, if they can just do this. And I was guilty of that. Oh, you know, when the last one can, you know, do this and we won't be able to do this. And then you miss all the really fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And it does go by in such a blur. And, you know, I remember just, you know, having a conversation with my girls back the summer, and I was like, there's one morning that I remember I just lost myself. I lost it, and I've screamed so loud that I mean it was horrible. And they were like, we don't remember that. And I'm like, I'm glad, because I do. And that is one memory that I you know. And I mean, yes, parents You lose it.
And they're going to do that. I mean, that right. just
you know
is normal. Mm-hmm. That is going to happen, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And spend time together. That is huge. And I, as a family, mm-hmm. even if it's 10 minutes a day, mm-hmm. your whole family. And
talk you know, about the day. Mm-hmm. How was your day? What was the best part of the day? Mm-hmm. What was the worst part of the day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your faith and, mm-hmm. you know, pray together. It's never too young. My husband was very good about setting up stuff for us to do for community service. I mean,
that's so good.
You know, for years until COVID, we did on Good Friday, we would go down and do the room at the inn. Mm. And it's just one of those traditions that we love. But it also, so now I feel like my children are very into
giving service. To others.
Yeah.
Yes. They want to serve their community.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so important because
you have to give back. God rewards those that give.
Yeah. Mm. So
much wisdom.
I know.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So much wisdom.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
We don't know agree, for but... certain. Well, we like to end with something food related. We move from.
Well, we love food.
We're very
caring, fun, and food. So we've got a two-part question for you. Part one is queso or guac?
Queso.
All the way. Look at that. You didn't even have to
share queso, probably.
Yeah. And listen, we can each eat a basket of chips by ourselves. It's like, you know, when we're somewhere, bring her a basket of chips and myself one. Like, no, we don't want to share.
And get the cheese dip and we're good.
Yes. That's all we need.
Okay. We need to share. We won't share a basket. We'll get our own basket.
We will get our own basket.
Yeah, we don't like to share
a basket.
We would love to do that.
Okay, we'd love that. And what's your favorite taco?
Oh, I think San Antonio soft taco.
Mm. Oh, bean and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
Satco.
Uh-huh. Makes me want
Satco. Satco's always brings back the college
The go-to,
days.
Yes. Mm.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to plan a Satco date with you two.
Yeah,
sure.
We would.
We would love that.
Okay. It'd be fun.
Well, thank y'all for having us.
Thank you for being with us.
It's been awesome.
It has been awesome.
If you are enjoying the Raising Boys and Girls podcast, click follow on your podcast listening app to subscribe and not miss an episode.
Join us next time for another episode where we'll bring you help and hope on your journey of raising boys and girls.